copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
We're going to talk today about a subject that really has been a pretty integral part of my life for, well, I've been in ministry now for 50 years. I know it's impossible. You can't believe it. But I started in ministry 50 years ago. No, I wasn't 2 years old. I was actually 18. And I've spent my entire life in ministry, mostly small ministries. And so that means I'm, first of all, well acquainted with many of the pressures you're facing, like not having enough money, not having enough time to do all that needs to be done, not being able to find the right staff people, building a board of directors, trying to balance all this with being a husband and a father, and now in my case, a grandfather. But it also means that over this lifetime, I have accumulated a long list of leadership mistakes. I am an expert on the wrong way to do leadership and management because I've done it so often. So I hope that you can learn from some of my mistakes. And thankfully, I was blessed over my life with really good mentors, actually most of them on my board of directors, the board of directors that I served with and under, and they were very patient and kind. So I learned, hopefully, and I want to share some of those lessons with you. Now, I do want to mention, I'll try to remember this at the end too, we have a unique opportunity, which is part of the European Leadership Forum called Cambridge Leaders Network. And it's a one-week intensive program for leaders held in Cambridge the second week of July. Now, unfortunately, we've had to cancel it this year for understandable reasons. But I would encourage you, if you have an interest in this topic, to consider enrolling or applying for this, because it's a really great program. In spite of the fact that I speak four times that week in this program, it's still a great program, and I think you would enjoy it. So let's talk about God and details. I'm sure that you, or at least ministry leaders you know, have struggled with taking time for management tasks that deal with numbers and details and money. And I often hear my ministry colleagues say, I don't want to spend time on mundane things like details and numbers. Well, I think there's some reasons why this is a common attitude. And so before we talk about the right way, let's realize that most people went into the ministry because of a spiritual calling. Very few people I meet, and I could wish for more, but very few people say, I was called to read Excel spreadsheets, or I was called to analyze financial reports, or I was called to deal with details. No, most of us saw our primary calling as spiritual, saving souls, building the church, expanding God's work. So sometimes when we're immature in our thinking, it feels like anything else that doesn't fit with that is less faithful to the calling. But there's also another reason, and this is more serious. Many people I know have a sacred-secular dichotomy. So they see their faith through a bifocal lens, where some tasks, like praying, preaching, reading the Bible, are spiritual, and some tasks are more secular, less spiritual, like fundraising or preparing a budget or writing a job description. Well, naturally, being the spiritual giants that we are, we want to focus on the more spiritual activities. But there's also a third reason, and this is pretty common too. Many leaders simply feel ungifted in the area of management. And so we tend to avoid the things that we are not as good at. So today, I want us to face the question directly. Is it spiritual? Is it ministry to spend time on details and numbers? Now, I think you can guess where I'm going to come down on this, but I want to make the case that details and numbers are not only necessary, in fact, it is godly, it is biblical to pay attention to details and numbers. And to neglect, I'll make it even stronger, to neglect such details and numbers is not only wrong, it is actually neglecting the very pattern we see in God's work in the Bible. So you can't do this. It's bad. You've got to get serious about numbers and details, because a balanced ministry leader has both a healthy spiritual life and a healthy engagement with ministry issues like details and numbers. Now, I struggled with this early in my ministry. And fortunately, as I mentioned earlier, I was taught by some good people. Now, the Bible, you know this book, are you familiar with it? It's a really great book on leadership. And through reading the Bible, actually, I realized how unbiblical I was in my neglect of details and numbers. So we need a both and leadership in our Bible, in our ministry style. So let's talk about, does God care about details? The Bible itself shows us how important details are to God. So on your handout, or actually on my PowerPoint, you can see some of those. And you do have the handout, the outline, and that you can download as well. But think about all the details, and think about genealogies. I know you probably skip over them in your devotions, but they are details, and God put them there. Or think about the tabernacle blueprint. In fact, I'm looking here, Exodus 25, verse 10. Now, if you ever find somebody that says, God doesn't care about details, you just go to Exodus. And you will quickly, look at this. Have them make a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits wide, high. Overlay it. Now, if I'd have been God, I'd probably said, hey, make a box, so long, so wide, so high, whatever you choose. Overlay it with gold, pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding. Cast 4 gold rings for it. Well, you get the idea. We're talking details. You think that's detailed? Go a few, Exodus 28, the clothing of the priest. You're talking precise details. Or job descriptions, and we'll talk about those in a minute. There was somebody assigned to do all these different jobs. Or think about, we have this whole record in this Bible of where they camped. I mean, think about 1.5 million people. How would you like to take them camping? For 40 years, and we have a record of every GPS point that they camped at. Now, why do we have that record? Well, it seems obvious. Moses assigned somebody with the task, I want you to write down, make a record, where we're stopping for the night, actually for a week or two or 5 months or so, the boundaries for each tribe of Israel. We know where those are. Look at the book of Nehemiah. There was a platform built where Ezra would read the word of God, and it tells exactly, God says what the platform is supposed to be made out of, and then where people are supposed to stand on that platform. Or, I don't know if this Bible has the old maps. Do you have some of those Bibles that have maps in the back? Oh, yeah, look, I've got some maps. Oh, Travels of the Apostles. Do you know how we know where Paul went? Well, it's because somebody took the time to record where they had been. So if God cares about details, then I think we should too. So what are some of the kind of details we need to pay attention to? And I'm hoping to convince you that details can really be a spiritual thing. Well, first of all, you got physical details. Let's say your worship area or your office area. Is it clean? Is it well-ordered? The chairs are arranged neatly. You've got organizational details. In a business meeting, do you have clear rules on who can vote and who cannot vote? Do you have qualifications spelled out for officers? And what are their terms of service? Is it lifetime or 1 minute until somebody disagrees with them? How do you manage this? Activities and history. You know, much of this book is a recounting of events. And that means, and sometimes in the middle of really disastrous times, somebody took the time to write down what was happening. We've got letters in this book, detailed accounts of meetings. You need to keep an archive that shows the history of God in your midst. Of course, we have leadership and staff details. What is the role of a board? What is the role of a CEO? Who has which authority? And then, of course, you need job descriptions. That's a big part of leadership and staff. It's amazing when I read the book of Nehemiah, he paid a lot of attention to details. So you got certain people responsible for certain sections of a wall, and someone's in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. Not just any song, but songs of thanksgiving. Somebody else is in charge of guarding the storeroom. You've got specific people in charge of specific jobs. And of course, Acts 6 continues that same description as well. Now you need a job description for everybody in your church staff or in your ministry. Now, what does a clear job description mean? It empowers your staff members to be at their very best. And I've included here what a good job description includes. Title, overall responsibility, key result areas, who does the person report to. Without this roadmap, your people are lost, and they can easily infringe on your authority if you're the leader, or they can do too little because they're afraid that the big leader will be offended. But if you have it in black and white, it's all right. How much money can your staff members spend without sign off from anybody else? You need to have that clarified, or else you'll have some unnecessary struggles over money that is unnecessary. Now, the other half of a job description is a periodic evaluation. So you just don't just hire somebody and say, well, I'll tell you if you mess up. No, periodically, you call them in. So when I had a staff, I gave them periodic evaluations, and I would ask them questions. You need to connect with them. Now, frankly, most of these questions came from one of my main mentors, Bob Beal, who's one of the leaders at the European Leadership Forum on leadership mentoring and direction. So I would ask questions like, what can I do? And this is one-on-one with the staff member. What can I do to help you do your job? Or what equipment or training do you need to do your job better? What issues are you facing in your life right now that I can pray with you about? Now, this is an important one. What parts of the job do you find most fulfilling, most exciting? And even more important, what part of your job gives you the most stress, the most frustration? Or the really tough one, what do I or others do that really demotivates you or frustrates you? Now, of course, I would never frustrate anybody, but actually, hard to believe, it happened. And just asking the honest question gives people, hopefully you'll give them the freedom to be honest with you, the chance to say, you know what, you've got this way of responding when I give you when I hand in a project that really frustrates me. And of course, you can always ask, what do I do that motivates you or helps you? So periodic evaluations. One big question that I learned from Bob Beal, is there any unresolved problem that you have been hoping to speak to me about but haven't known how to approach? I mean, working side by side with people, it can be tough. I mean, we're in a fallen world, and all of us are fallen, at least everybody but me are. And so conflicts can happen, and sometimes the leader's not even aware of it. They can be blissfully unaware. And so you need to be connected to people. So if you say, is everything clear between us? You don't want any secrets, any hidden conflicts or wars going on. Then, of course, we've got other kinds of details. We've got financial detail, legal details. I mean, look at these. You've got government regulations. Do you have to have a charter to work in your country? Do you have to pay taxes, even on donated income? What about conflict of interest issues? Do you have a lot of family members or staff on your board or staff? Does that create any issues that you need to deal with? What about fundraising laws? Is political activity prohibited? And what is political activity? Is somebody keeping the minutes of the board's meetings? Are they being kept in a in a good place, in a safe place, in a proper way? Do you have a policy manual? How do you make, or is it just the leader shouting out orders? Okay, today, here we're going to, and I've worked with leaders that had a different set of rules every day of the week. And then they wonder why their staff are so frustrated and ended up in tears sometimes. Well, nobody wants to work with a changing rules all the time. The organization I worked for a few years, we eventually did a legal audit just to make sure all the documents were in good order in our ministry. We wanted to be a good testimony. So lots and lots of details. So since God cares about details, what does that mean for us? Well, two or three things here. One, record the details of your organization. Keep a journal or a diary. And you know, it could be a real inspiration later on, because every ministry is opposed by the devil. And the devil's going to cause problems even beyond what our normal human fallenness will cause. But God is on our side. And if you record the struggles, then you can look back and see how God wonderfully answered prayer and brought you through. I can remember time after time when the ministry that I worked with for many years, we would just kind of run out of money. And that was frustrating because I was responsible for raising the money. But time after time, I could keep you here all day telling you the number of times God provided. Had we done work? Yes, we had talked to people. We had done the hard work of making contacts and telling the story. But at the end of the day, it was God's provision that he brought through for us. Secondly, if you're not strong on details, then find others who are, whom you trust. But at the same time, you need to get stronger on details by starting to pay more attention to details. For instance, since Terry and I moved back from Lithuania, we've been in a large church. And unfortunately, the staff does not represent what the pastor's priorities are. We love the pastor. He's a man of God. He preaches the gospel. He really does a great job and has a heart for souls and a heart for the lost and really is willing to stand for truth, uncompromising. But his staff is unkind. They're undercutting his work day after day. But unfortunately, his stated preference is, just let me preach, and the staff's supposed to take care of everything else. Oh, that's a very sad thing. Because his ministry, what he's trying to do, is being undercut day after day. He has no idea. Number three, honor each person in the ministry as playing an important role in the work. So your calling is probably primarily spiritual. Evangelism, preaching, pastoring. But don't underestimate the fact that every person on that staff is a part of the body of Christ, not to speak of the priesthood of all believers. And so their work is important as well as your work. So the accounting, the management, administration, treasurer, janitor, all are details which are holy to God. Unfortunately, I have to tell you, I've met way too many ministry leaders and particularly pastors that are kind of elitist in their attitudes. Like, well, my work is more spiritual than your work. And that's a disgrace to the body of Christ. It violates actually what the New Testament tells us, that we're all part of the body of Christ. Number four, learn and grow in your weak areas. Now, I speak about this from experience. Understand, you'll always be stronger in some areas than others. Of course, that's okay. But we can't be complacent. Being a leader means getting out of our comfort zone and often even out of our competence zone. I've spent a good deal of my life as a ministry leader way outside of my competence zone. But leaders, especially of small ministries and churches, such as most of my work has been, need to be relatively competent in lots of things. So you kind of have to be a generalist. Now, many years ago, The minister I was working with was in a deep financial crisis. I mean, serious, serious, maybe going under deep. And one board member had become, amazingly, but very negative about me and my leadership. It's hard. I know it's hard to believe, but it happened. And he said, "Daryl, you need to run this ministry more like a business." I was so hurt and shocked. I'm not totally sure even now today what all he meant, but I strongly disagreed with him. He felt like I wasn't giving enough attention to the business side. And I felt like he wasn't giving enough attention to the spiritual side, to praying and taking risks for God. But you know what? In retrospect, now 20 years later, I thank God for his criticism. Because whether he meant it for good, and I think he really meant it for good, I did need to run the ministry more like a business in the sense of paying more attention to details, to the business side of the ministry. I thank him. I needed to hear that. You see, it is biblical. It is spiritual to pay attention to details because God and the Bible pay attention to details. We need a theology of details. You know, the old saying is, the devil's in the details. No, God is in the details. And see, both and leadership means we both pray and read the word and pay attention to details. So if you're called to ministry leadership, you're called to pay attention to details. It's unspiritual to neglect or be careless about the details of your ministry. Well, okay, then God cares about numbers, no surprise. And again, most ministry people I've known and worked with over the years think numbers are not very spiritual. And in my early ministry, I too was quite dismissive of numbers. Just let me minister to people. I don't care about numbers and financial statements and budgets and policies. Just let me win the lost. And my eyes would literally glaze over when I saw an Excel spreadsheet or listened to a financial report. But over the years, God and some very patient board members, good friends of mine, taught me that numbers are an important part of ministry. But I also learned from this book that numbers are an important part of ministry. I mean, think about it. A while back, Terry and I, my wife and I, were having our devotions as a couple in the book of Numbers. Think about it. We were amazed to remember, realize again, the attention God gives to numbers. I mean, think of it. We've got a whole book in the Bible named Numbers. But there's some that are especially fascinating, and I've listed them on your handout. But I want to remind you, Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 68. Now, this is what Nehemiah brought back from Babylon. So the whole company gives the number of people, and there were 736 horses, not 740, not 730, 736. So we're talking precise here. 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys. And the next verses, the people made a contribution. There was fundraising going on. Ah, fundraising. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic. And they gave 1,000 drachmas of gold, 50 bowls, and 530 garments for the priests. Now, how do we have those numbers today? Because somebody counted them. How do we know that there were 5,000 people when Jesus fed the multitude? Because somebody took the time. They counted. How do we know how many people were converted on the day of Pentecost? Somebody counted. So just a reminder, numbers are not everything, but they are something. Now, since God cares about numbers, what does that mean for us? Well, it means, first of all, we take time to track numbers. Now, if we were in Poland, I would now be breaking us up into small groups, and we'd be talking about what are some of the numbers in your ministry that you need to track? Now, the second thing we would need to do is we are careful and accurate in tracking numbers related to our ministry. Do I really need to say this? Yeah, unfortunately I do. In Christian ministry, there's no exaggeration. One leader I worked with consistently exaggerated the numbers so that he would look more successful. Aha! And eventually it was so bad I realized I could not trust him because of this, and I could never work with him. Don't be that kind of leader. Be honest about the numbers. You don't have to exaggerate. It's God's work. Whatever happens is his credit anyway. Third, we are open about the numbers. Information is not something to be guarded closely. I've had a few accountants over the years that wanted to treat the numbers like a treasure. My precious, don't share the numbers. And I kept having to tell them, no, numbers belong to the whole ministry. Everybody needs to be aware of the numbers. We don't want people to be going in the dark on this stuff. So we're open about the numbers. And fourth, we track numbers, but we don't worship them. Numbers can easily become an idol to bolster our ego. I mean, there are some churches in America that make an idol of growth for growth's sake. So let good numbers direct glory to God, not to you as the leader. And also I need to say, as important as numbers are, there may be some things that God may prohibit you from counting. Don't count when God tells you not to count. I think David gives us kind of a serious warning about this. Yesterday, Oz Guinness spoke for our academic network. And the man he was named after, a friend of their family, Oswald Chambers, had a lot of great things to say. And one thing was, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. So make sure you're hearing me here. You as the leader are responsible for tracking numbers, but don't make an idol of those numbers. That's why we're mindful of the limitations of numbers. And speaking of Oz Guinness, now this quote's way too long for us to have time for right now, but just the essence, let me read the first line. Metrics are quantitative and not qualitative. So they measure performance, but not relationships. But then go down toward the end of that quote. In the same way, metrics can record the frequency of our church attendance, the regularity of our Bible reading, and the exact amount of our tithing, but they can never gauge the genuineness of any of them, or whether they're any better than the noise of the solemn assemblies against which the prophets fulminated. So here it is. God cares about numbers. For many of us in ministry leadership, the numbers will never be as enjoyable as other aspects. But we do need to at least be proficient and adequate. I mean, I can tell you that still, when I'm in a staff meeting and the financial reports come out, no, it is not my favorite part. But I've realized as a ministry leader, I need to pay attention to those numbers, though I will never worship them. Now, one other thing I did realize I didn't put on the handout are apps to help on details and numbers. And I have a whole workshop I do on apps that help us track such things. And if you're interested, send me an email and I'll be glad to connect with, or ask me on the Whova app and I'll try to jot those things in. So here's what I want to say is God cares about balanced both and leadership. And that's why we get how we get beyond this dilemma of feeling like we're unspiritual in talking about numbers and details and not only about the spiritual things. Now, we do need to recognize that there are many ministry leaders that are out of balance the other way. I've had to work with some. They are so focused on the business side of the ministry that they're cold spiritually. They don't have a vital prayer life, and they don't read the Word of God. Ministry now for them is just a profession, just a job. So please know, I'm making a case for balance, healthy spiritual life, and healthy management engagement by each one of us. I mean, think about David. He exemplifies this well. David had skillfulness of hands. That would be the numbers and the details, the leadership and the management, and integrity of heart. Now, I have a whole other talk I do about God cares about money. And one part of that talk is that we need to do a good job tracking the money. And one way to do that is to have an annual audit. Now, I won't get into that, but back in the time when I was leading a ministry, I would meet with our auditors each year because we had a full financial audit each year. And I believe that's really important. And I would sit them down, and some were Christian, some were not. And I would say, thank you for doing the work you're doing, because you're doing an important task, a task that is important to God. Now, we know that to the best of our knowledge, we're trying to be very careful, but your job is to help make sure that we're being as careful as we can as stewards of the money God has put in our hands. And I'd always quote to them one of my favorite verses, Daniel 6:4. You remember when the enemies of Daniel tried to bring him down, and they searched for all this dirt on him, but they couldn't find anything on him. And they found out, Daniel 6:4, that he was neither corrupt nor negligent. Now, I've rarely worked with ministry leaders who are corrupt. I know they're out there, but I have worked, unfortunately, with a number who were negligent. Maybe not corrupt, but negligent. So we need to be both spiritual and well-organized. We need to be both skillful and godly. We need to be both ethical and diligent. That's the kind of leader God is calling us to be. Now, leadership is hard work, and I don't need to remind you of that. But just as an encouragement, I want to remind you that God has offered you. Now, if you could sign up with one of the ELF mentoring programs, that would really be good. And there are some leadership mentoring programs that Bob Beal leads one that are really good. But I want to make an offer that even outdoes Bob Beal. Our boss has offered us a wonderful mentoring deal. Now, if I called you up and said, I've got a great deal to make, you will have a daily conference call, maybe by Zoom, who knows, but a daily conference call with the greatest leader the world has ever known at no cost to you, other than you promise to follow his instructions and counsel. This is the amazing offer we have through prayer and the Word. Think about it. As leaders, we need to be on our knees before Jesus. If you're like me, you feel keenly your inadequacy to lead. We need Jesus. And so go over in your mentoring session with Jesus. Walk through your schedule with him, issues you're facing, your to-do list, your budget and financial statement. Talk to him about decisions you're needing to make, difficulties in your ministry. Ask him where he can help you find funding for your work. Ask him to give you wisdom to be able to fulfill the calling he gave you. And then shut up. Listen to what he says. Be patient and learn from the greatest leader ever. A few years ago, actually about 5 years ago, I lost my brother-in-law, Mike Rice. And he was, I guess he would be my best friend as well as my brother-in-law. And he had his own company, Mike Rice Construction, commercial construction in Oklahoma City. And Mike Rice did a better job of approaching his work Christianly than any other man I've ever known, in ministry, professional ministry, or out. And he and my sister-in-law would pray over every bid, over every job. They'd pray for their subs. They'd pray for the competitors. He soaked his work in prayer. Why? Because he loved Jesus. And he saw his business as a part of his love for Jesus. Now, unfortunately, the Lord took him home prematurely, for me prematurely, about 5 years ago. And when I preached his funeral, hundreds and hundreds of people were there. A lot of people came up to me and say, I knew Mike Rice prayed for me. Now, as a ministry leader, it should be very clear that we should be on our knees asking Jesus for help every day. We need wisdom. We need his help. And so let's sign up for this free mentoring program with Jesus and have him lead us. Well, let's take some time for questions and the discussion here. Can you share how we can contact you or learn more about the app to track numbers that you mentioned? Well, email address there, yes, dmccarthy@euroleadership.org. And then let me just talk through these apps here. The first app that I would say is some kind of Simple Notes. Actually, the app I use is called Simple Notes. Or there's a Google app called Keep Notes. And Simple Notes is simply an easy way. I can go to my phone here. Actually, I'll bring it up here. Can you see my phone? There we go. And there is Simple Notes. So there's Simple Notes. And it's just a quick way, so I get an idea, and I can just go to this and quickly jot down something, and then later on, I can transfer it to some other issue. It's a fast way to keep track, because my brain, at my age, is like a sieve. I forget things very quickly. Another app is called Evernote. Evernote. It's an E-V-E-R, note. I use it every day of the week. And it's a good app to keep track of a lot of different details. Similar to that is one that's part of Microsoft, if you use Microsoft, called OneNote. And OneNote is also a nice filing system for ideas. Just this morning, I had an idea for a talk that I'm hoping to give later. And so I made a quick note in OneNote. It's like carrying around a file cabinet right on your phone, and then, of course, I have it on my computer as well. And so I work with OneNote probably every hour of every waking hour of the day. Another one is Dropbox Scanner for receipts. If you're in ministry, I hope your ministry will reimburse your receipts. And to keep track of that, then the Dropbox Scanner for receipts is really helpful. I do quite a bit of traveling, or at least I used to before the coronavirus. And one app I use for travel is called Trip It. And it keeps track of every flight, every hotel, every car, every detail, and it's all in one place. And another for travel I use is called Rome to Rio. And it's Rome, R-O-M-E, the number 2, and then Rio, R-I-O. And it's a way that will tell me, okay, like a few weeks ago, I was trying to get from Timișoara, Romania, to Strasbourg, France. And I wasn't sure how the best way to do that. So I can put in Timișoara, Romania, Strasbourg, France, and it'll give me all the options and tell me how much each one will cost. Because since I raise the funding for my work, I'm always conscious of cost. And then it'll tell me how long it will take to go bus, car, plane, train, whatever. And then Expensify is a good one for reimbursable expenses and off on it. I've got to close here. Thank you all so much for joining me for this workshop. So blessings on you, and thank you for joining us today. And do consider the Cambridge Leaders Network for your leaders who need it, or for yourselves. I think you would find it a highly rewarding week. It's one of my favorite weeks in the year.